Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. You now have time to read the assignment.
Morning, everyone. Quiet, please. Right, okay. So, today I'm going to give you some advice to help you prepare for the exams next week. So, take some notes as I'm talking, please. Everybody ready? Now, while you're studying, eat food that gives you energy. Don't be tempted to eat sweets or drink cola. Sugar won't help you study, but fruit and cereals will. Apples actually are especially good. Find a comfortable place with plenty of light when you study, but not too comfortable or you'll fall asleep. Try to keep a positive mind. It is easy to study when you're positive and relaxed. Now, if you start feeling anxious, have a little break. Go out for a stroll around the block. Don't try to learn everything. There isn't time. Just choose the important things, the things that'll get you the most points in the exam. And if you aren't sure about this, ask me. First, learn the main ideas and don't worry too much about the details. If you have time, you can come back later and read the details. Take notes on the key points and read them. Then cover them up and try to remember all the points. Now, it might be boring, but repetition helps you to remember. Use past exam papers to study. They will help you understand what kind of questions come up. There are plenty of past exam papers in the library. You can photocopy them and take them home. Take regular breaks while you're studying. A 5-minute break every half an hour is usually enough. Get some fresh air and stretch your arms and legs. Drink a glass of water too. It's important to keep hydrated. And, last but not least, good luck. I'm sure you'll all do your best.
Now listen to the recording again.
Morning, everyone. Quiet, please. Right. Okay. So, today I'm going to give you some advice to help you prepare for the exams next week. So, take some notes as I'm talking, please. Everybody ready? Now, while you're studying, eat food that gives you energy. Don't be tempted to eat sweets or drink cola. Sugar won't help you study, but fruit and cereals will. Apples actually are especially good. Find a comfortable place with plenty of light when you study, but not too comfortable or you'll fall asleep. Try to keep a positive mind. It is easy to study when you're positive and relaxed. Now, if you start feeling anxious, have a little break. Go out for a stroll around the block. Don't try to learn everything. There isn't time. Just choose the important things, the things that'll get you the most points in the exam. And if you aren't sure about this, ask me. First, learn the main ideas and don't worry too much about the details. If you have time, you can come back later and read the details. Take notes on the key points and read them. Then cover them up and try to remember all the points. Now, it might be boring, but repetition helps you to remember. Use past exam papers to study. They will help you understand what kind of questions come up. There are plenty of past exam papers in the library. You can photocopy them and take them home. Take regular breaks while you're studying. A 5-minute break every half an hour is usually enough. Get some fresh air and stretch your arms and legs. Drink a glass of water too. It's important to keep hydrated. And, last but not least, good luck. I'm sure you'll all do your best.
Task 2. You now have time to read the assignment.
I'm Karen. Welcome to Teens Topics. I'm joined by Peter today. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Karen.
Today we're talking about a subject that some of you are experiencing or might experience in the future. It's living at home, particularly when you're grown up and in your 20s. Peter, what age were you when you left home?
I was 18 and I'd just finished school. I was really, really excited to see the world.
According to the UK's Office for National Statistics, a record number of young adults in their 20s and 30s are living with their parents. That's 4.3 million adults. That's an increase of about 46% since 1999. Living with your parents is not that unusual.
However, many people may have to move to another city to take up a job, to get a job, or they may be going to university. But all this comes at a price.
So that's exactly why there has been an increase in young people living with their parents for longer. The recent economic downturn is the biggest factor. But what's it like to be 27 and still living under the same roof as mum? Luke Sibson knows.
I had set plans to own a house and a car and have a family by the time I was 30. I'm now 27 and I'm not any closer to achieving that. There's something very difficult about being a 27-year-old man living at home with your mum. It's an environment that limits me socially and sometimes even professionally.
I have to admit, living at home now would drive me mad too.
Well, not everyone has a choice, and some might feel the advantages are greater than the negatives. Like you don't have to wash your clothes, you don't have to make your bed, and so on. I'm speaking to Alberto Casals on the phone, who is 29 and lives near Madrid in Spain, a country where unemployment amongst the young is high. He tells us about the personal benefits of living with his mom.
Basically, I don't have to worry about paying taxes or paying electricity, any bills. You basically live for free.
I have to say, that is quite a big incentive. However, you need quite a kind and generous mother or father to live like that.
Right. And if you have no choice about living at home, hopefully you at least have a good relationship with your parents.
Yes. After all, it is their home.
Spoken like a true parent, Peter. That's it for this program. Please join us again soon for Teen Topics. Bye. Bye.
Now listen to the recording again.
Hello, I'm Karen. Welcome to Teens Topics. I'm joined by Peter today. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Karen.
Today we're talking about a subject that some of you are experiencing or might experience in the future. It's living at home, particularly when you're grown up and in your 20s. Peter, what age were you when you left home?
I was 18 and I'd just finished school. I was really, really excited to see the world.
According to the UK's Office for National Statistics, a record number of young adults in their 20s and 30s are living with their parents. That's 4.3 million adults. That's an increase of about 46% since 1999. Living with your parents is not that unusual.
However, many people may have to move to another city to take up a job, to get a job, or they may be going to university. But all this comes at a price.
So that's exactly why there has been an increase in young people living with their parents for longer. The recent economic downturn is the biggest factor. But what's it like to be 27 and still living under the same roof as mum? Luke Sibson knows.
I had set plans to own a house and a car and have a family by the time I was 30. I'm now 27 and I'm not any closer to achieving that. There's something very difficult about being a 27-year-old man living at home with your mum. It's an environment that limits me socially and sometimes even professionally.
I have to admit, living at home now would drive me mad too.
Well, not everyone has a choice, and some might feel the advantages are greater than the negatives, like you don't have to wash your clothes, you don't have to make your bed, and so on. I'm speaking to Alberto Casals on the phone, who is 29 and lives near Madrid in Spain, a country where unemployment amongst the young is high. He tells us about the personal benefits of living with his mom.
Basically, I don't have to worry about paying taxes or paying electricity, any bills. You basically live for free.
I have to say, that is quite a big incentive. However, you need quite a kind and generous mother or father to live like that.
Right. And if you have no choice about living at home, hopefully you at least have a good relationship with your parents.
Yes. After all, it is their home.
Spoken like a true parent, Peter. That's it for this program. Please join us again soon for Teen Topics. Bye. Bye.
Task 3. You now have time to read the assignment.
1. I am single, but I do not use an app to find a partner. Dating apps are a waste of time. Apps on your phone can't help you to find a romantic partner. Research shows that fewer than 5% of people who have used dating apps actually go out on a date with someone they met through them.
2.
I've got friends who have used dating apps very successfully. Lots of weddings. And even though dating apps are not always used to couple up, they are still big business. Tinder and co. ask for monthly contributions or sell extra features. Last year, the world spent between $500 million and $1 billion on them.
3.
We found from all the people that we surveyed that only slightly more than half of them actually met up with someone. So, we looked at why they were using a dating app. And the most popular and most common motives were using it out of curiosity and using it to pass time or for entertainment. Swiping with friends is something that happens fairly often, especially among millennials.
4.
It's very easy to think that this quick swipe left, swipe right would be very different from the process of how we pick out a person in real life. But we know almost immediately when we meet someone whether we find them attractive or not. However, in the real world, you could meet someone you don't find attractive at first glance and then get to know them and find that you do quite like them.
5.
People are becoming horribly disillusioned and have started to get bored with dating apps. Even more important, people are feeling that these relationships are often very tough, and you have to be ready to accept rejection or to reject people yourself. And this is not always done in the kindest way.
Now listen to the recording again. 1.
I am single, but I do not use an app to find a partner. Dating apps are a waste of time. Apps on your phone can't help you to find a romantic partner. Research shows that fewer than 5% of people who have used dating apps actually go out on a date with someone they met through them.
2.
I've got friends who have used dating apps very successfully. Lots of weddings. And even though dating apps are not always used to couple up, they are still big business. Tinder and co. ask for monthly contributions or sell extra features. Last year, the world spent between $500 million and $1 billion on them.
3.
We found from all the people that we surveyed that only slightly more than half of them actually met up with someone. So, we looked at why they were using a dating app, and the most popular and most common motives were using it out of curiosity and using it to pass time or for entertainment. Swiping with friends is something that happens fairly often, especially among millennials.
4.
It's very easy to think that this quick swipe left, swipe right would be very different from the process of how we pick out a person in real life. but we know almost immediately when we meet someone whether we find them attractive or not. However, in the real world, you could meet someone you don't find attractive at first glance and then get to know them and find that you do quite like them.
5.
People are becoming horribly disillusioned and have started to get bored with dating apps. Even more important, people are feeling that these relationships are often very tough, and you have to be ready to accept rejection or to reject people yourself. And this is not always done in the kindest way.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.